If you were paying close attention in the last couple minutes, you'll know that for the first time this fall, the bats have rejoined us for service. It's been so warm. This is the latest I can remember of them coming back inside in November. Though I suppose it's possible the bat lost a loved one in the last year and decided to come to All Saints service. It's always an option. I was reminded, it was about this time, a long time ago, I was 22 and started graduate school. There was a group of Lutherans that got together, Lutheran graduate students, for dinner, fellowship. And one of the PhD students, she was in her early 50s, her name was Elizabeth, but she went by Betsy, which when you're 22 to call somebody in their 50s Betsy is a little weird, but that's what she liked. She was finishing up her PhD dissertation, theology. She'd been at it a while, so much so that the first part of her dissertation, she told me, was written on the typewriter. The second part of her dissertation was written on an ancient thing called WordPerfect. But the university was now requiring them to be submitted on the fancy new Microsoft Word. So she needed help figuring all that out. I asked her, well, what's your dissertation on? She said, it's on Martin Luther and friendship. I thought, well, that's not going to be long. I was thinking of Luther and his best friend, Philip Melanchthon. Luther would call him my instrument, my tool, my little boy. And that's his best friend. I mean, he saved the good stuff for his enemies, right? And I thought, Luther on friendship, you can't get 4 pages out of that. So, of course, I willingly agreed to help her convert. What she submitted to me was almost 1,000 pages. It took me weeks. I asked her, you know, about her dissertation, why she was having such a hard time finishing it. Part of what she said, she says, I have a hard time finishing it because of the dead. I said, what dead? She said, all those dead friends alive in the library. Not merely Luther, she said, but the long list of others. Those people who've lived their lives with God longer than us, who seemed to know a great many things about God. And they were speaking to her as old friends do. In fact, she even said that in some ways they were better than her friends. It's All Saints Sunday. We believe the saints show us the way. These friends long dead, they attempt still to teach us, tell us what they have learned from following God. Through these ancient writings that we read aloud together called Scripture, through the hymns we sing, the architecture of the church, we are here today indebted to those friends who have gone before us, these friends we call saints. You'll note even the order of service, ancient writings. We'll sing songs we did not write ourselves, poetry and music from other lands and other times and other places. All of it a gift from the saints who have walked with Christ long before us. It's a long time. Speaking of time, I suspect you know in part that time plays a crucial role in the friendships that we have. You know, some of us don't have a lot of friends because we don't spend a lot of time at it. It takes time to develop for a friendship to blossom and flourish. As Aristotle put it long ago, you can't become a friend overnight. In fact, speaking of Aristotle, he's the great philosopher of friendship. He made it the basis of his ethics. What he said is that to be a moral person, he said, is to be a person with good friends. Because only friends know how to tell you the truth in such a way that it is truth for you. To tell you truth in such a way that you hear it when you might refuse to hear it from anybody else. Or in other words, a person without friends, Aristotle believed, would be an immoral person. person alone, subject to only their judgments, a person whom nobody loves enough to simply tell them the truth. That might be one reason why the church asks you to come here every single week, every Sunday, to sit here with the friends of God, to be with those we call sisters and brothers in Christ, to listen to Scripture over and over again, to sing the hymns over and over again. This just gives us time to hang out with God, to hang out with the friends of God, to listen to the Lord's word without immediately expecting it to be of any benefit. But it might be later. I mean, this morning's first lesson that Gary read from the book of Daniel, truth of the matter is, when I was 22, I had no time for Daniel or Revelation, all this strange, weird, apocalyptic writing, four beasts, the ancient one, the four kings. But the older I get, the more of a broken world I see, I start to hear this vision of something new, of a future that's brand new. I hear it in a new way. It seems that I had to wait a long time to grow toward hearing that ancient word. I suspect what you have learned over time is that you become better friends through times of difficulty and challenge and conflict. As we often say, when you go through a difficult time, you really find out who your friends are. Somebody here at Luther Memorial told me not long ago, she said, you know, I kind of feel closer to my grandma now that she's dead than I did when she was alive. I'm like, well, what do you mean? She said, well, now that I'm married and have children, I have a greater appreciation for grandma and her struggles, how she dealt with life as a wife and a mother. And she said, I've really begun to appreciate her wisdom that I didn't appreciate when she was alive. It may also be the case that friendship teaches us at its best how dependent we are on one another. I mean, if a good friend is somebody we can ask for money and call in the middle of the night and help us out in times of trouble. And that, I wonder if that's why, early on in the church, Christians began the practice of praying, communicating with, praying to the saints. Those friends who had died, who had been through it all, in many cases been through a lot worse. And they would ask them for help in times of difficulty. Whether or not you happen to believe in praying to the saints, I'm guessing there's somebody in your life, maybe several somebodies, maybe somebody long dead, whom you think about, and maybe even ask for help, particularly in times of difficulty. And notice that just about everything we can say with the good friends that we have can be said about our friendship with Christ. At one point in the gospel, Jesus turns to the disciples, and he says to them, I no longer call you servants, but friends. In other words, Jesus at some point decided to make a decision and call them friends. It's a gift he has given us. His disciples didn't ask for this. It's the free thing that he offers, perhaps the most understated free thing he has offered. I mean, well, what does that mean to be one of Jesus' good friends? It may mean that the good qualities we have with our good friends are the same qualities we have in our friendship with Christ. A willingness to let Jesus be who he is, a kind of candor, a kind of truthfulness, of us being refreshingly honest with him, who's in turn brutally honest with us, that even when he tells us the hard truth or demands great things of us, that like a good friend, he ultimately has our best interests in mind. There is a tendency, I think, in our culture, in the modern world, to have these kind of communities or kind of affinity groups with people whom we have a lot in common. You know, there's apparently a Harley-Davidson community, which I don't know anything about. There's the business community, or this community, or that. They're all people of a sort of a similar disposition. But isn't a deep friendship one with people that are different than us, rather than our similarities? I mean, we don't want our friends to be an extension of who we are. We want them to be different, to be an enrichment. They're different. Who wants to be a friend with somebody who's a carbon copy of yourself? Again, we often say to good friends, they appreciate me for who I am. A friend is somebody who lets us be different, stay different, still tells us the truth, but doesn't despise us for being different. We treasure the saints as our friends in faith, in part because they led very different lives than ourselves. The great difference between us and the saints is they are dead and we are not. But they are our friends in the faith. In a little while, we'll remember some of those friends in the faith who died more recently. I will always remember Elizabeth Muzzy's smile and her kind words. I'll always remember Ray Lang. Even on his deathbed, you know what he talked about? He talked about you. He wanted to know what was going on in the church, what the choir was doing, what the Sunday school kids were doing. He wanted to know what the church at work was doing as he was about to be part of the saints at rest. Always appreciate Dan Brockup's kind but insightful comments about the liturgy. For Magnus Twighty, who was born, baptized, and died on the same day, we learn something about the shortness of life, how fragile it is, how to give thanks and celebrate to God the gift of life. We treasure the saints as our friends in the faith. Most of them have lived in different times and different places. Most of our friends in Christ extend all over the globe for 2,000 years. And I think it's true that in some way, Betsy was right. We are closer to our friends in the faith, even if they died a long time ago and we never actually met them. We are closer to them than we are even to perhaps to our next door neighbors. Through our friendship with the saints, our lives are expanded, and we, in some way, experience something of the greatness and grandeur of God through one another. That's one of the great gifts of a place like this. Friendship with people who are not like us except in one way. People trying to love and be loved by a God who loved us first, washed and made us clean first, called us friends first. Perhaps that's what Jesus means when on the Sermon on the Plain this morning, he says to the people gathered, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Paul says death is the final enemy. The dead, those friends long gone, they are alive in Christ. Maybe they have caught a glimpse already of a new day dawning. And maybe they already know it's a day of laughter. We gather here with the friends of God, all of us here. We gather with those who died in the last year. We gather with those long dead, all of whom, living and dead, here and there, they are the ones whom God has given us. God has given us to show us the way of life, death, resurrection, and everlasting life. Amen.